American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting from the internet for Monday, January 25th, 2010! You're listening to Newsreel, a WOG Global sit-rep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. Just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up all of these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get there by going to Sean, S-E-A-N, _ Kennedy, .livejournal.com. This is a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio Talk, Red Mercury SE, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes, Podcast.com, Podcast Alley. And then every single Thursday night, we broadcast in Second Life Node Archers, 155746666. And with us tonight, we have Tax, Spider Mike, Sophia, Smurf, Plump Dragon, Morps, Mindy, Max the Token Cat, Legion, Lashen, Kimmy, Cade, Ice, Dawn, Darklight, Cyborg, Cimmerian, Burftel, Ball Traveler, Shan, he built this place, AOI, Anthony, and Amnestasia Jennings. As well, let's not forget that we are also broadcasting on Radio 99, transmitting on a frequency of 66.73.3 kilohertz, which, you know, if you're truly hardcore, you're outside, you know, right now with a helmet on that you built yourself, you've totally renounced everyone else, you've developed a hoverboard on your own, and you largely live on the rooftops of Paris. You know, in between living in and out. That's how WOG you are. That's what you're listening to us on right now. And I know they're out there. It's the evolution of parkour. We're going to go to urban rooftop snowboarding. I think it's doable. We got to get that tank trailer thing, you know, the one they got in Australia. We'll just upgrade that a bit, make everything out of titanium. The Russians can do it. They got the free tie and the time. Have you seen their economy lately? Shit, they'll try anything. You know, so we should build that. And the man who'd be the master of that, of course, would be my beautiful and talented co-host, Cimmerian.
Rooftop snowboarding? I'm not sure if I'm
urban
the master of that.
Urban rooftop snowboarding. You got to
urban. Oh, that changes everything.
It should be extreme urban rooftop snowboarding, like extreme urban rooftops.
I tried snowboarding once. It didn't work out so well.
I tried
on my ass most of the time,
once, and it didn't work out most.
Yeah,
so well.
That's very true. Yes.
Yeah, and he filmed it. And thank you very much for not revealing that humiliation to the world. I'm sure there must have been some temptation because I know what a fan of Jackass you are. So I'm sure that, you know, there must be the temptation to be like, yeah, Sean, I think I'm going to make you look stupid now. You know, I've had enough of trying to be nice to you. I've had enough.
I don't think I got any pictures of you. I didn't film it. I took some pictures, but I don't think I have any of you on the ground.
Yeah, it's like watching
crying,
a wounded walrus. So. I know. It was terrible.
Put him out.
Like,
shoot
Orca,
him. Put him out of his misery.
Just do it, Orca. Come on. King of the Sea. Just finish him off. Just finish him off. It's kind of sad. It is. But you, in between, you know, making me look good, you've fixed the submissions link on the show. So there's no more troubles with that. Aren't you totally keen like that? Look at you go. Awesome. And of course,
your show,
Pirate Party Radio. I'm hearing good things. People are liking it.
Yeah, people are liking it. It's going very well. Lots of crazy stories around the world coming in. So there's never a lack of news going on for Pirate Party Radio. That's for sure.
Now, have you been picked up anywhere else? Are you officially bigger or not?
Picked up anywhere? No, not picked up anywhere. I'm a one-man broadcasting team there.
No, so, I'm just saying if you get extended reach, I'd like to know about it. You know, if somebody tells you, well, you're now going to be broadcasting, because if somebody rebroadcasts you, you get feedback from Tibet and stuff or whatever, I'd like to know about it. It'd be good, because it's
a
good
show.
Oh,
for sure, yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
And as things progress, I'm proud of it, man. It's awesome. I think it's pretty great that you're doing that show. No, it is. I mean, I've always stole the limelight for years, right? I've been the dancing monkey.
Stolen it.
Well, no, it's true. I kind of have, right? I mean, I've sort of been under the spotlight, and I know you pretty good. You're a smart guy. You're a very shrewd guy. And more than anything else, you got more conviction than you do brains. You know, so anything that you say on that show, you can bet that it's the truth, or you believe it to be the truth. I mean,
I try and check out all my facts before I say stuff, and sometimes I eliminate
infallible.
So many stories.
You're not infallible.
Sometimes I eliminate so many stories because there's so much spin on the news these days that I eliminate half my stories because I investigate them and look at them and go, well, this isn't really as big of a deal as it is. So sometimes I discount a lot of the stuff.
Right. Right, and you know, what's a big deal? One man's crisis is another man's comedy, right? So you don't really know what, like,
I usually just go for the big stuff, right?
Well, yeah, there's some stuff in the gun stuff. Did you get the one about the rifle sights with the Bible verses on them? Did you get that story sent to you?
Well, no, it doesn't really fit in with anything to do with the fire party. I mean, it's an interesting story. I've been following it, but it's more to do with, like, religion and... than anything else.
Religious and like combining religious war. I mean, there's a huge there's a huge population in the United States who wants to use the same tools that jihad does in order to fight jihad, right? Which is therefore, you know, forget easy with the enemy you fight, lest you become them. You know, do not fight monsters for lest you become one, or whatever that statement goes. Something to that effect. You know, you dance with the devil, change.
I found it kind of funny that they'd have quotes from Jesus on their scopes, on their rifles. Like, they're killing from a distance for Jesus, right? It's quite funny.
Well, they're not doing that for Jesus. Jesus has been dead for quite some time. You know what I'm saying? So, and if he was alive, let's leave Jesus out of this, because it's got nothing to do with him. He hasn't had word one.
It does. They're quotes. They're quotes from Jesus on the scopes.
He never wrote that shit down. Dude. Jesus
well,
is the
they believe that.
Ever.
People
we don't know shit about Jesus. We do not know what God... They can't even find scientific records that the dude existed, okay?
I'm not saying that he did or didn't. The people believe that those quotes were from him.
Yeah, well, Jesus himself...
Even though it was
himself,
written hundreds of years after his
Jesus
death,
Jesus himself ever said, hey, make sure you quote me when you're shooting people. I mean, he did freak out on some moneylenders, okay? He did beat the shit out of some moneylenders, which, you know, hey, fair enough. You know, fair enough. I've spoken with some money lenders who, you know, I'd seriously take the cat of nine tails to and remove a few layers of the epidermis. I'm just saying. But, you know, anyway, but people, you know, they're killing for whatever. They're painting their house for Jesus. Jesus doesn't give a fuck if you paint your house. Okay, he doesn't care if you paint your house. All right, he'd probably, if the dude was around, from everything I've read, now there's lots of theology, blah, 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 and there's all the books that they threw out, but all these holy cats, Buddha, the whole lot of them, basically the the big idea, the huge idea of all the big ones was don't kill each other. That's the big one. Okay, right on top of don't kill each other was don't hurt each other either. Okay?
Unless it happens to be in the religion that you're not a part of. They all say kill the other people. All the Bibles.
Oh, I'm not talking about the Bibles. The Bibles is much
just
music.
The man. Just the man.
I'm talking about the dude, the character. Okay, the character.
Yeah.
Okay, we're not talking about Star Wars. We're talking about Darth Vader here. All right? Well, I'm not trying to... don't worry, I'm not going to manipulate this into a pro-religious thing. Okay? Because, I mean, they burned my books, too, in the 80s on the D&D. I'm not into the cult thing. Okay? I'm just saying that... it was an idea that was born. It's lived its time. It's probably time for us to move on as a species. We're evolving. I'd like to make that transition a little bit easier. You know, maybe take some of the good things from it that we had, because it wasn't all bad. There was some good stuff. You know, it's not total, complete crap. There is some good stuff that comes from that. You know, like the idea of peace on earth and stuff. That's a good idea. And most of the nice ones, you know, the religions that we like, they have that sort of an idea. You know, they got the peace on earth idea. Not so much the peace on earth because I killed everybody idea, more the peace on earth because, you know, we just stopped fighting kind of an idea. So my long-winded point here is I think that the character, Jesus, would disagree with the writing of biblical quotes on the rifle sights that they're shipping to a foreign land to shoot people with. The church would love it. The church would think it's awesome. Generals would think it's great. PsyOps guys would really like that. But JC, actual, you know, Jewish carpenter's kid, I think if you were to, like, stop him and ask him that shit, he'd be like, no. No, I don't think so. I think that's a bad idea. But he phrased it different. You know, you'd have, no, I feel that we know, you know. But essentially, the downside of the whole thing would be no, is my point. So, you know, not to soiree too deeply into religion. Not to, you know, really get in there. Because it's like, every time we get into, like, you know, philosophy and religion are kind of, you know, they've sort of bounced off of each other over the years. So whenever you talk about religious debates and stuff, you got morality in there, and like it or not, you and I were both raised as, you know, what do they call that? WASPs? White Anglo-Saxon Protestants or whatever? So, you know, some of our ideas, like before, it wasn't your fault, man. Like, I saw the same movies you did growing up, right? So you have an understanding of how, you know, the nuclear family and all that crap, right? So we've got a similar sort of reference point. And, you know, this ties into so much. And there's the funny thing is, of course, is that there's so many people that don't want to think as deeply as you and I do about these issues. They don't want to, but they'll throw rocks at you.
Well, it's hard. It's hard to think.
It is hard to think. You're goddamn right it is, especially when your planet's falling apart. You know, when the whole thing's going down the shitter, the last thing you want is to be observant. Okay, you know, let me die slowly. I'm in much pain, so I know what it was to be alive. Not everyone's going to go for that. Okay, a lot of people just like to numb it out until the end comes. You know what I mean?
That's right.
And that's what media is. That's what it's become. The really sick thing is you and I have been the play-by-play spokesman for the cyberpunk culture as it has arrived. Like,
that is true. As it comes into being,
as it, like, we were here, you know, this is a document, you know, anybody who's been present along this era of history, you know, would have to know on some level about what's going on. Because, I mean, with Rant Media on some level, I mean, because there's only so much you can poke around on the web before you run into us. And if you've been on the web for 10 years, you know, and we try to incorporate as many people as possible. So, you know, hell, all you got to do is show up and, you know, you're a part of it. You know, that's one of the beauties of the internet, free speech and all that kind of jazz. Because there's no way that I'd be able to get the kind of following that I have now in today's, like, if Sean and Sim were 19 years old and starting out again, I don't think we'd make it, man. I think there's too many people.
That's a different climate.
Yeah, it's the threatscape has evolved, it's, you know.
The barrier to entry is so low now. Anybody can point a webcam at themselves and get on YouTube. It's just, it's really, really easy nowadays.
Yeah, that's true. Because back in the day when you and I were filming, people were like, hey, guys with cameras. Like, it was new.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they come up.
It was on the internet. It was new. Like, nobody did that.
Yeah.
Nobody even broadcast radio when we started on the internet.
Yeah, so we were one of the, and which is great because we were like, an iTunes is the only industrial station. And I got a lot of panicked phone calls from people that I've met over the years who were like, oh my God, you're on iTunes. And it's like, you know, it's like television for them. You know what I mean? It was bizarre. But I got some feedback here. We should probably get to the actual show. I've got a pretty good show lined up here. And I got this piece of feedback I want to get into. Since I know what kind of a mood you're in. You're a little funny. Look at you. You're
well,
all
my,
show,
my,
all
show, my show whips me up.
Yeah,
my
it
show
does.
Whips me up into
it
a
does.
Frenzy.
And then you take it out on me. You know? It's not my fault.
John, I hate you.
You always hit me.
It's because I love you.
No. Anyway. Dear Sean, your most recent show was the most disturbing one I've heard, I think, ever.
Excellent.
I would not know this stuff if I hadn't listened. The nail in the disturbing coffin was the story about the sponsor sanitizing. If Coke can censor Pepsi, we're fucked. I know I keep harping on the cop stuff, but stay with me for a moment. You know why cops get cynical and burned out? It's not the heinous shit they see on the street. It's the big fat one that gets shoved dry up their butt at random by the people who should have their back. Who are these people? judges who throw out good cases because you continued searching for and finding weapons like guns after the subject has been handcuffed, or judges who don't enforce the law so that they can implement their bizarre social agenda from the bench, or don't punish a kid gangster for carrying a gun because he was wearing someone else's pants and didn't know the gun was in them, and seeing that the kid who you kind of liked lying in a pool of his own blood dead from gang shootings, or judges who won't throw the book at an ex-con who went for your gun, you fought like for your life, broke your hand in the process, prosecutors who won't prosecute your cases that you've investigated and heavily doing a great deal of investigation and good police work because it won't look good or good as some other cases for their careers, chiefs who throw an officer under the bus when he follows the official use of force policy to the letter and thereby successfully bring someone into custody with no more than a bruise on her thigh because the commissioner doesn't like what he did. Lieutenants who don't know their asses from a third base whose only interest is promotion to commander without concerns for the lives and careers smashed because of it. Sergeants who forward all complaints to internal affairs regardless of complaints merit and are no more than slimy fingers of the lieutenant who have no interest beyond maintaining the extra 6% of sergeant's pay. People promoted to sergeant just for political reasons, and then being completely out of their depth because they weren't qualified. Fellow officers who know that for one of the surest ways to get cushy training gang is to show how other people's shortcomings and throw those people under the bus if, in the full circumstances, reveal that those actions were wisdom. That one's a little bit intense. When you talk someone down from jumping and nobody says anything, when someone does the same thing, only a little less cool and dangerous, the brass give her a life-saving medal and a fair amount of recognition for her actions. When you keep on arresting the same guy for the same thing and he never stays in jail, when you see kids lying in disgusting squalor that has to be seen to be understood, and child services won't do shit but looks at you sideways because you teach your kids to safely use guns. These are the things that burn out cops. When excellence is punished and mediocrity is rewarded, you get some pretty bitter cops on the street. And it's not their hours in the car, it's the minutes with the sergeant. Everything I've listed, I've watched happen, or has happened to me. I didn't realize how angry I was about it until I started writing. Longer than I meant. Hope you're still with me. Great show. Keep up the work. It's important. A cop. So I like that letter. I liked it because it was genuine.
That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was genuine. You could tell that they've been through it. They've experienced all of this and know why cops burn out. And this is a good list of why.
Yeah. Now, I've censored it a little bit. I've censored it a little bit because, I mean, he really poured his guts out here. And I think that and I hope I haven't offended him by changing a few minor details. I think I got the point across.
The heart of the story is still there.
Yeah, and I think that one of the great things about this is, like, holy crap, what if the cops and the protesters get together? What if we go World War I on this shit, where everybody just stops fighting for a minute and they play a game of soccer? You know what I mean? Like, seriously, let's kill it. No, wait. Everybody, stop. Let's listen to some music. You know, like, let's have a rave or something. We got all this wonderful plastic equipment. Let's do something constructive with it. You know, I'd really like to get the protester culture and the cop culture together to be friends. Because I honestly think they're really not that different. The protester culture wants to do a great thing. Cops, at the beginning of the game, wanted to do a great thing. The problem is that with cops, you've got money involved because you have careers and lives and, you know, people's families get dependent upon this. And so it loses what you would think the actual morality of the police department should be. And then there's corruption and so on and so forth. So, I mean, corruption maybe, I think, is inevitable the longer an organization is around. But, you know, the cops have their own problems to deal with, and they don't get a lot of breaks. You know, some of them do. Some of them make it to the top. So, you know, I try to give a shout-out to the cops whenever I can, is all I'm saying. Because everybody takes it out on the poor cops. You know, that frontline soldier who you're throwing rocks at, he didn't want to be there any more than, you know, you got a choice, man. That guy got ordered to do that shit. You know, yeah, maybe he likes it a little bit. He may as well. He's got to be there anyway. You know, so if I'm going to have to beat the shit out of a bunch of teenagers, I may as well enjoy it because, you know, honestly, I'm going to have to sleep. And they got to tell themselves, like, I mean, they know what's going on. They know what's going on, but they've twisted their brains around in such a way so that they're the good guys and you're the bad guys. Just like the protesters twist their brains around so it's like they're the bad guys and we're the good guys. You know, and that's what this is all about. So maybe we could just stop twisting our brains around enough to, you know, maybe just communicate and start looking at who the real enemy is and who's really calling the shots here. Because I think if we can cut the head off the serpent, we might just be able to kill it. You know what I mean? Like, let's not, let's stop hurting each other and start looking at who we should actually be engaging in meaningful dialogue about solutions to our current situation. Because unless we can do that, we're kind of done. And that's one of the reasons why I think they wouldn't let guys like Ross Perot or any of those guys in to the United States. Because, I mean, Ross Perot was crazy, okay? He was nuts. But, I honestly believe that Ross Perot was honest. Like, I think the guy would have got into Senate. I think he would have done something. He would have tried to do what was right for America, I'll tell you that. He was pretty loony, you know, but you need to get somebody with conviction, you know what I mean? With that kind of belief into any sort of a position. Especially in a position of leadership, right? So anyway, wild tangent there, totally off base from, you know, police work right up the law enforcement chain. But you know, I suppose as you and I were fighting about, we're talking about belief here, right? That's where you know, just attacked me about belief. You know, all I did was talk a little bit about it, and you're like, stab me in the face. Jeez. Vicious. Vicious little atheist goat. Ramming. It's okay, because, you know, hey, I gotta say it. I gotta say it, Sim. Sorry, man. It's all right, because Jesus really does love you, man. And no matter what you say, you know. Did you ever go to church when you were a kid? Come on, seriously. Did you ever go to church when you were a kid? Like, when you were young?
Oh, yeah. Like Sunday school or something, right, like, yeah. That. My parents would take me or something.
Right. You would be forced, because when you're a kid, you have no choice. Right. You're forcibly
dragged. Yeah. You don't know any better. You believe everything your parents say or anybody in authority. And you go there, you do what they say, and you go, well, I guess so. I believe in Santa Claus, and I believe in this, you know, this white Jesus on the wall and all that kind of stuff.
Well, you're totally good then. Don't worry about it. I'm not worried about you at all. No, seriously. Yeah, no, I according to the passage, right, there's this whole thing in there that if you've ever accepted Jesus, you're good. Like, doesn't matter.
If you denounce the Holy Ghost. That's in their Bible, too. If you denounce the Holy Ghost, you're over. It's over.
Hey.
You can't come back.
Well, I don't know. I just saw that part where it said that Jesus wouldn't leave you.
That depends which book you read.
Well, they can legally argue it out. I'm just saying, you know, if you show up at the pearly gates, you know, you should be good, I think. I think you'll get it, regardless. You'll probably get some swirlies and a couple of noogies, you know, but other than that, you'll probably be fine, I think. So don't worry, man. Don't worry. So let's move forward. Dear Sean and Sim, just something I wanted to share with you and the listeners out there. Recently, I've started listening to After Now because of all the things you do about it.
All the crazy things you do.
Recently, I've started listening to After Now because of all the talking you do about it. And the one thing came up that puzzled me at the time. The idea that unregistered, uncontrolled, and on a whole, free information is considered pornography. Now, this concept I couldn't wrap my head around until I went to download some Psytrance Goa and some sweet bitchin' techno. But albeit I'm a man of meager means, so I have to go through my local library's Wi-Fi. And upon going to a website that I know and trust, ectoplasm.com, I know it myself, and I get a message that says Sonic Wall has blocked this website for the following reasons. Forbidden category. Pornography. Intestination will occur in 4 seconds. This came as something of a surprise to me, so I tried another, same message. I've gotten 2 messages for the same thing. Forbidden categories are either pornography or hacking/proxy avoidance systems, which the messages I've gotten from going to Hackaday or the Tor website. I've talked to the librarians about this, and they say the library doesn't seem to have a say in what gets blocked and who doesn't. Hell, I almost expect the Rant Media, Newsreel, Pirate Party, radio websites to be banned for the same reason someday. Just thought I should share that with everybody out there of interest. And that was signed Leviticus, which ironically is the law books of God, which ties up to our wraparound. I didn't plan that. That was really his name. Anyway.
You planned it.
Yeah, no, I did not. Shut your mouth. Shut your filthy heathen. You ruin everything.
I have heard reports that rant sites have been banned from some of these filters. I seem to remember some letter that we got a long time ago. Somebody's trying to access rant sites through their school, and they couldn't get into it.
Oh, God, don't let me in the schools. Don't let me in the schools.
Unlicensed knowledge.
Well, I won't even answer letters from people who are under the age of 21. I'm not even kidding. Like I just don't do it. No,
we have an age verification system on the site for submitting to Sean.
No, I don't respond to it because it's way too dangerous. It's way too dangerous.
It is, because you can get in trouble with their guardians and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like I'm not interested in that. Like, are you kidding me? Like, that's really, really dangerous. I mean, I'm pretty surprised that I'm allowed to broadcast as much as I have. That's why, probably because, you know, I'm a big suckhole to cops. That could be a big part of it.
You know, that's right. I love you, cops.
Because it'd be like, love cops. Cops with guns. Well, hey, if at the end of it, when, you know, if I get the good sale and a couple of steaks, I'm okay with it. You know?
That's right. Well, you know, when they're coming to beat down your door and they look at the search warrant and they see the name Sean Kennedy, and one of them goes, hey, I know this guy. He's cool. Let's skip this house.
Well, maybe I'll just get a phone call. Maybe you shouldn't be home tonight. Maybe you might get arrested if you are. Click.
That could be it.
That's
it could
all
come
you
in
need.
Many forms.
You know, that's all right. You need. That's when I put into exit strategy Alpha 9, and I disappear. You know, poof tag. You will see me in count them five years. Anyway, that'll be the end of that.
AWOL bag and gone.
Not even the AWOL bag. Like, Alpha 9, man. No, there's no AWOL bag. I could execute Alpha 9 naked, waking up in the trunk of
a
car. Yeah, no. Yeah, that's the ultimate escape plan. That'll be patrolling season 3. A quick commentary. You know, I am going to do that patrolling season 3, actually, because it's not that hard to do. Anyway.
Naked again, no.
Yeah, no, not actually naked. We'll have, like, bad boxer shorts
okay.
or something.
Yeah, we'll do the blocking.
I'm not going to commit to anything. I'm not committing to anything. This is not a verbal contract. Hi, Sean. A quick commentary about underwear bombs. Oh, what a segue. I said the same thing after the shoe bomber. I guess we should all be happy he didn't bomb. He hid the bomb on his body, not in. Otherwise, the flight attendants would have to start handing out complimentary soft pedals to sit on. And if it would be all for our safety, if not dignity and comfort, what's really scary is that the generations that come after us will grow up perceiving this kind of institutional abuse as normal. And wouldn't that just be too convenient? One could discuss back and forth whether 80 grams of PETN could and could not do to an airliner, or what it could and could not do to an airliner. It's roughly equivalent to half a stick of C4. I'm thinking decompression, but not catastrophic structure failure, an extra stick Tylenol moment for the passengers. Okay. 21st century air travel tip. If your seat neighbor starts duct taping his shorts to the passenger window, stab him in the neck with the pencil first and call a friendly flight attendant later. That was sent in by the Anarchist, which is true. Still loving the show. Thank you. And the show, hey, it still loves you. It's 10 years old. The show's almost a teenager. This entity.
That's right. It's getting to legal age.
It's getting to legal age. Pretty soon, I'm going to get arrested and tried as an adult. Pretty soon.
but I mean, this letter is come true. Like, he hid it in his underwear, and now we get nude scans of ourselves, people looking at naked scans of electrons bouncing off our body.
Well, because of patrolling, I've conditioned myself for this eventuality. I'm already used to living on a camera 24 hours a day. Doesn't really bother me. I just don't care.
Doesn't bother Sean.
No. Because, well, I mean, I've had advanced training in this. You know, I've had a crazy vegetarian, follow me around with a camera. And, you know, so, and these people have conviction. You know, they do. More mail here. Dear Sean, a taser is not less lethal. It is non-lethal. Less lethal is something which certainly could kill, less lethal is something which certainly could kill you, but it's much less likely to do so. Like a beanbag gun, that is considered a less lethal weapon. As long as it doesn't hit you in the head, you'll probably be okay. I rolled the lightning on both the M26 and the X26, which means this person's a cop. And I know you already agree. I'm speaking of last week's show, not the current one. I'd much rather be tased repeatedly than beat repeatedly. And those are your options, tasers or impact weapons. The taser incapacitates you while everything else is based on causing enough pain or damage to the subject to choose to stop resisting or is too damaged to resist. Funny thing, most folks don't understand what a deterrent this is, but most cops, all the agency I know, have to write a use of force report each time a taser is used. Cops hate writing paper. Oh yeah, why is hunting whales especially evil? Now this is a good question this cop asked me. Uh-huh. Why is hunting whales especially evil? I understand about sustainability and about the reproductive cycle is too slow to support the intense hunting, but aren't they just animals? Like, at least they don't live like farm pigs or chickens. So what's so bad about whaling? Sounds like a chink in your human supremacy! Uh-huh. I'm being called a race traitor by a cop.
That's true. That's right.
Totally.
The whales actually have it better than farmed animals.
They get
to live their life in freedom for their whole life. But the ones on the farms in the battery cages get to live in jails for their whole life, then killed.
Right.
And they kill them in the millions.
Right.
The whales, they're just cute. That's the thing. They go after the seals and the whales because people will look at them and go, oh, they're so cute. Look at the dolphins. They're smiling. No, they're not smiling. They will kill you. They will eat you alive.
dolphins are not smiling. Dolphins kill people all the time. Dolphins.
Oh, yeah. They jump right out.
They,
but they're a wild animal. They're a wild animal.
They are a wild animal.
Just like any other animal. They're not smiling. That's just the way they look.
Okay. Okay. Well, true enough. Now, first of all, this is at the risk of dangerously sounding like an internet argument, because we've all seen that picture of the internet argument. I don't have to justify, neither does anybody. I understand this guy here, the fellow who said this, and he's a good shit. So, he didn't actually call me a race traitor. That's a very loaded statement, so I just want to renounce that right now.
A human supremacist, it says.
I've claimed before I'm on the air that I'm a human supremacist, right? Because I'm like, we're in charge.
So self-admitted.
But the reason why I'm a human supremacist, you ever wonder why I'm a human supremacist? Well, here it is in one.
Why is that, Sean? Tell us.
Because I'm human. You see, that's how it works, you see. It's because I'm...
You're loyal to your tribe.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, guilty as charged. Right here. Yeah, we go to space and we get a human trait.
It's a human evolution trait to preserve you and your kind and you and yours DNAs. So it's something that is built into you.
Yeah, how it got there, I really don't give a crap. I really don't give a crap. I don't even like to entertain the notion about, well, you must understand, because you could show me another species that could fly and spreads nothing but joy and love throughout the universe and transcends space and time, and they're going to come to our world and take it, and all suffering will cease, and we will grow, their species will, like, within another 1,000 years, in less time than it will take man, they will propagate and spread joy and peace, adopt all of our culture, and bring it to the galaxy. Okay.
Isn't that the Raelian mantra?
No, yeah. No! No, no, no. See, humans are humans, okay? We gotta kind of stick together on this one here. You know, if you start kind of getting away from that. But that said, I don't need to justify shit to anybody. And neither do you. But purely here, I would think about this. And the problem I have with the whales versus the chickens thing is the whales are smarter. No, seriously.
Okay.
That's what it is. I think it has to do with the smarter. So we don't like torturing and killing smart animals. Pigs are pretty smart, though. And so are octopus. They're pretty smart. They're like a 6-year-old.
Monkeys. We do experiments on monkeys all the time.
Yeah, but we don't eat them. We don't eat them.
Well, some places do.
I'd eat a monkey if I had to. You know.
If you had to.
Well, yeah. Shit, I'd eat you if I had to, Sim. I mean, it's no offense. You know.
That's true.
I'm going to survive.
Trapped in the mountains.
Well, yeah. I have to. You know, geez. I would never counsel anyone or any fan of mine or any wog who would ever.
You'd have to kill
to
me first.
Well, yeah, I'm not a savage. You know, I do object quite strenuously to how they whale. Like, if they could hit the wave and kill it, like, bang, dead. You know, like, swim, swim, bang, thunk, I'm dead. That'd be awesome. Okay, that would be awesome if they could do that, but they don't. They drag it up with hooks, they mutilate it, the thing takes them like 40 minutes to die. It's pretty horrible, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that, aside from saying that the smartness factor, my fallback plan is because I don't like whaling. I don't like it. I think it's bad. And, I'm pretty comfortable without having to rationalize that, so, yeah, I don't like whaling.
I'm not so sure about the intelligence is the best scale to judge things on, because I know that there's some gorillas out there that can do sign language better than some humans can speak. Like, there's some people with some severe mental disabilities.
Yeah, I object
so,
to people
you know,
doing
are the monkeys higher on the scale than the humans with the downs because they were dealt a bad hand in life?
Well, and this valid statement, you know, who has a soul?
Coco supremacy.
One. Which one of these creatures has a soul, Sim?
Oh, I'm not even going there.
Well, you already brought the monkeys into it, Sim. And Sim, when you bring in the monkeys, man, all bets are off. Man, you brought
damn
the monkeys
dirty.
Here. I'm asking if they got souls, okay? No, straight up.
No,
you know,
they don't.
You gotta,
and neither do we.
I mean, we've got the dominant. We're the dominant species here, all right? So what we're going to do with that
is... Yes, I'll agree with that, yep.
Okay, we're the dominant species. We're not going to get farmed out by sharks anytime soon. Not if I have anything to say about it. But, you know, I mean, we are the dominant species. So, you know, it's up to us to kind of look after the planet a little bit rather than being slobs. Now, of course, everybody has different views about that. And, of course, we can't get along long enough for, to do anything because everyone's so concerned with being an individual. And being an individual is very important. But being effective is also important. That's one of the reasons why I like the military, because you can have individuals, yet you're part of a collective, and there's a culture associated with it. And that's why Robert Heinlein, I think, was such a big fan of that, too. He got a little bit crazy near the end there, but, you know, I'm just saying. I think that was his inspiration there, and it's a good one. And science fiction writers have played on that for, you know, umpteen billion times. What will happen to humanity, right? So it's an interesting idea.
They're future philosophers. Science fiction writers
are
philosophers of the future.
Yeah.
And they work things out beforehand.
Yeah.
And you can refer to their books and go, wow, this is exactly how it went down, because they thought it through.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I don't really care for the whole whaling thing. I think it's kind of a moot point, because there's definitely, you know, bigger things to be worrying about than whales dying, which is a horrible thing to say, but let's you know...
I find that a very weak argument. There's bigger things to worry about. You could say that about almost everything.
No, I can't say that about Africa.
Concerned about the big. Well, yeah.
Yeah, got
true.
You there. Ding, Africa.
That goes high on the scale, doesn't it?
Yeah,
let's go the highest
for raw
on the scale.
Suffering. Well, there's raw suffering which we can do something about, which is Africa, and then there's raw suffering we can't do anything about, which is like Tibet, right? Because you know, what the hell are we going to do? You know, what are you going to do? China knows it too, right? They're not screwing around.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be, you know, India's going to go to war with them within the next 10 years. And then it's really going to get on. Because just wait until that starts
to
happen.
But why aren't we sending over stuff to Africa instead of sending it down to the earthquake zone where people are starving in the earthquake zone because they don't have food, but they've been starving in Africa for, you know, decades.
Well, because charity hides a multitude of sin. Haiti is Timmy,
yes.
And he's stuck in the well, and we'll be able to farm this out. God knows the reality shows and TV crews that are on their way right now to Haiti. A scope of suffering on this scale, it's like a cameraman's orgy over there right now. They're going over
there. It's
sexy.
It's now. It's hip.
They're
going to
be documenting that suffering. Oh, they're going to have that suffering in high
def. Movie of the week. Yeah, we can make documentaries about it. Put it on the screen.
Yeah, we're going to watch a baby starve to death, and we'll get it on film. Yeah, wait for the vulture. The vulture will hit him. You fucking know it. Yeah, you know, but that's a different sort of kettle of fish. You know, so that's why, though, of course, you know, nobody gives a shit about Africa. It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
It's why people numb their brains, Sim. It's why people want to, you know.
It's too much to cope with.
Sometimes I think you forget how much of a kung fu master you are with all this stuff. So people come up to you, and you, like, assault them with this, you know, terrible broadsword you're wielding around. You should learn to be more subtle with people, you know? If they espouse some crazy religious shit to you, you should smile and feel pity for these people and try to think about how you could possibly unfuck their head, you know? Like,
oh, I do.
Well.
I do.
Well, you'll do that better if you're friendly. I'm just saying. It's true, you know.
Think I'm a little. Think I'm abrasive. Well, I'm abrasive on the show. I wouldn't be. I would. This is. I'm talking to faceless masses here. I'm not talking to an individual.
I know,
right?
But it's
a little
faceless...
bit different.
No, of course. But I'm just. I'm illustrating what I'm trying to do here. Is I'm illustrating that I'm not exactly pro-religion, and I don't want anyone to think that. But I think that there's an awful lot of people out there that their entire being is made up of their religion. And if we're going to brain hack these people,
what a huge waste of time.
Yeah. But if we got to free these people, we got to free their minds. And the way we got to free their minds, we got to get keys first. We got to get in, okay? And if that means that
they need to look at everything. They need to stop just focusing in on one thing and look at everything.
Well, what they need to do, we can't control them. All we can control is us.
No.
You know. So I try to move with the greater good. I really do. And I'm hoping that, you know, the day that I start getting Palestinian kids and Israeli kids talking to each other, I think that would be just like the cat's ass. It almost made me want to, like, learn six languages because I do nothing but the show. And, like, you know, I bet you if I did the show in, like, five languages, I'd get the circulation. I wonder what five languages would be the best ones for me to learn based on, you know, like, the grid. Like, how far the internet reaches right now.
I would think Indian language, Chinese language.
Chinese? Oh, wow. Could you imagine if I learned Chinese?
Spanish and French. There you go. There's four.
Yeah. Well, Swedish. How many people you got in Sweden? Come on. Seriously.
That's not going to work.
I think
Come
India
on.
And China got you beat there, Sweden. But you're beautiful people. Anyway, yeah, I'll just I'll do the whole show that
we
way.
We just lost a segment of listeners.
Oh, did we? Yeah, no one's gonna know what. Oh, the Swedish. No, they love that stuff.
The Swedish.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, they love it.
They love it. If they don't, they better start. Okay. In Pharma Fascist, hey, I got to put up with the stupid beaver and the RCMP thing, okay? Come
That's
on.
True,
got,
and living in igloos and all that stuff.
Polar
yeah.
bears. Come on. Let's get to some actual news here. In Pharma Fascist news, thank you very much, Tabu. This is an interesting article. In this age of globalization, you would expect people to value and be sensitive about the local differences and diversity. And few areas can be more critical than different people's understanding of the human mind when it comes to mental health and illness. For example, a Nigerian man might experience a culturally distinct form of depression by describing a peppery feeling in his head, while a Chinese farmer peppery. Might speak only of a shoulder or of stomach aches. Salvadorian women refugees suffering psychological trauma after a long civil war, on the other hand, often experience something called calareos, a feeling of intense body heat. For a long time, psychiatrists and medical anthropologists studying mental illness and different cures found that mental illnesses are not evenly distributed globally and do not take the same form from place to place. Unfortunately, mental health professionals in the United States who dominate the global discussion on how mental illness is categorized and treated have often ignored it or dismissed these differences. And the argument here is, of course, because people, like, let's be real here. There are different races on the planet, okay? Gonna play the race card here, okay? Like, I notice that there are certain, like, races that seem to be better at certain things than other races. You know, like, stereotypes.
They have DNA differences. They are measurable
differences.
There are
differences between the species, okay? So I'm going to come out and say that doesn't mean that I'm a... I started the show by saying a big article about how I'm a human supremacist. So, all the apologetics over. That said, people's brains are different if you're part of different races, right? You can tell these different species apart. So it's obviously, with something as complex as the human neocortex, you know, you're never going to find two of the same, you know, even related family members that are going to be the same. Never mind people who grow up with completely different ethnic backgrounds. I mean, that's just insane.
Yeah.
So I can see how that would be a bit of a problem. It goes on to say, worse, local versions of mental illnesses are now being homogenized into American versions at an extraordinary rate. That's why he wrote a book called Crazy Like Us, which I explore the four illness, post-traumatic stress disorder, anorexia, schizophrenia, and depression. In this essay, I concentrate on the two Western forms of mental illness, depression and PTSD, which are spreading around the world with the speed of a contagious disease, bulldozing indigenous forms of mental illness as they go. Two powerful but different forces are driving this. The diagnosis of PTSD is being spread by roving bands of Western trauma counselors who set up psychological first aid centers after wars and natural disasters. And our Western conception of depression is being promoted by multinational drug companies who profit mightily when other cultures adopt the idea and buy their antidepressants. So if you're feeling bad, you're depressed, and we could treat that. This is one of the most sinister forms of pharmafascism. Right there is on this article. And they're not calling it pharmafascism because that's, you know, Alex Jones speak. Okay, they don't want to call it pharmafascism because God knows, you know, they wouldn't want to actually come out and call it that. But that's exactly what this is. This is going to lead. Go ahead.
It's globalizing drug use for treatments of illness, and they're just blanketing everyone with the same drugs, throwing them at everyone.
Yeah, you know, and it's so incredibly evil. That, to be taking people's minds, it's one thing to, you know, advertise where you give them a choice. I mean, even if it's an illusion of choice, at least they sort of make some kind of a choice. But, like, you know, to get them on the blue pill or the red pill, I mean, come on. Really?
Yeah.
Is that going to be the future of our species? And you know who's going to wind up on these meds is going to be the poor people, right? You know, that's
who's,
it's not going to be the rich people. Rich people are, sure, yeah, there's lots of people, they take the good drugs, right? You know, because they got the money. So you're going to wind up with, you know, the stunted, deformed servant class and the super elite, which is what the paranoids are talking about. And it's a scary concept.
Well, these pharmaceutical companies are going to go all over the world and educate, in quotations, all of the doctors in different countries and give them a rap sheet of things to look for to give these people these drugs. It's like, well, if they come in with this list of symptoms, just shove the drugs in their face and they'll be happy. You'll fix them right up and you don't have to worry about anything. Don't even have to diagnose it. If they're depressed, give them this drug.
That's
just,
right. We'll numb that shit.
It.
Oh, yeah. We will numb that shit. You know,
then,
you
and then they can tell
good?
Them, oh, by the way, it's really addictive, so they keep coming back for more, so you'll make a profit. It's great for everyone.
And if they try to get off the shit, it'll probably kill them. They'll probably commit suicide, self-solving problem, bam, they're gone, you know? And if you get cut, if you get picked up for attempted suicide, your rights are gone. That's an interesting thing. So let's say you're having some problems, you try this shit out, all of a sudden you get suicidal, or you try to get off of it, you get suicidal. You get picked up for it, like you get arrested because you're suicidal, you cease to be a human being. Your rights are completely gone. You get spine-boarded wherever you go. They treat you like a thing. You instantly become, you know, like an inmate at a death camp. It's unbelievable. Well, maybe that might be a bit much to call them an inmate at a death camp.
Then they can forcefully prescribe these drugs to you. They're even happier.
Oh, hell, they'll charge you for it. You know,
yeah.
They'll shoot you full of the stuff, and you bet they're somebody's going to be paying for it. So, you know, it's terrifying.
It's not to say, I like to give a disclaimer here, because we rarely do this, that, you know, we're not advocating nobody take drugs because drugs are bad. There are people out there that legitimately need help. They have chemical imbalances in their brain that do need these drugs. We're not like Scientology where they're like, don't take any drugs whatsoever.
No,
it's the side of the devil.
Not,
no,
but
we're not.
You can take all the medicine you want, all right? But maybe you should consider where you're getting it from. Maybe you should be responsible for what you're putting into your body. Don't just sign your rights away to who you are as a person and give them the keys to the kingdom by letting them fill out a prescription. Demand to know what is that prescription. How does this work? And if that means that you got to learn a little bit about the human mind, then guess what, kiddo? You're going to school. Better get your hands on some books or start talking to people because you got a brain. You better use it or you're going to lose it for sure.
It's you've only got one brain. It's your brain. You better know about it.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Every single time I see these, like, homeless people downtown, you know, And I'm like, man, oh, it's like a little part of me. I've got like this little tiny insane doctor inside of me who's like, you know, if we could just get them to the island, we could totally change them. We could rewire them. Look at them. They are miserable. They are living in their own filth. If only we could take them, we could rebuild them. We could wipe their minds clean. And then with that reconstituted media, we could build them into a super race of wogs. You know, that's going on inside my head while I'm looking at this guy. And, you know, is that a bad thing? Is that a bad thing to do that?
It's,
would I get arrested?
It's tough to say because, you know, you're taking away their rights. They have the right to be crazy. They have the right to refuse drugs and be insane and think they, you know, being attacked by the government. And it could be fixed with a pill. That some of these people are the ones that need the drugs, the ones that are on the street yelling at the sky.
Well, these people need help. What they need is they need help. And I think that my whole views on medicine and drugs and all that kind of stuff is a lot of, like, the reason why they exist, the reason why they're in their culture is they're tools. It's a tool, like a hammer, okay? And it's a tool that you put in a toolbox. That's the way somebody put it to me once. They said, there's tools in the toolbox. And you know what? If you've got to accomplish your mission and you become injured or damaged, you've got tools in the toolbox to use that. And that's one of the ways to look at it. And that's one of the ways you can tell if you've got a problem or not. You know, because if you can't live without it, then you might have a problem. And if this is a problem, what is actually, you know, the cause of that problem? And you start to think a little bit. But this, again, all returns back to you're responsible for your own brain. And that's something that we've, at Rant Media, I mean, we've tried to convey that. Holy crap. Oh, my God.
Yeah, if that's our number one mission, really.
No one will ever accuse us of being, you know, trying to create some kind of Jonestown thing. That's for sure. Because
that's what we speak out against.
Yeah, we're all about, we've just been making noise over here, turning down all kinds of money to just basically give it to you straight is the whole idea. But anyway, here, I'm totally, we're wandering all over the map here. So, I mean, do you mind if we go a little bit over? Are you good for more than...
I don't care. Yeah, okay? I'm good tonight. I'm in a good mood, yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You know, you have a life and stuff, so maybe you have something you must do, you know. Anyway.
I'm good tonight.
Good. Tonight you're good. In apocalypse news, tonight you're good. Sorry, leading into the apocalypse news. Fembot Cosmonaut sent this in. What an awesome title they have. How can a distant supernova, black holes, and other cosmic events cause desktop computers to crash? The answer is they produce cosmic rays, which produce high energy particles in the atmosphere that occasionally hit RAM chips. The moving particles trail electrons, which can infiltrate chips, and cause errors. That's why computer giant Intel was in December awarded a U.S. patent for the idea of building a cosmic ray detector into every chip. When cosmic rays hit the Earth's atmosphere, they collide with air molecules, producing an air shower of high energy protons and neutrons and other particles. It is these that Intel wants to look for. They need to get near the wrong part of the chip. The electron tail can create a digital one or zero out of nowhere, something called a soft error. And that's pretty cool, actually. Computer giant IBM thoroughly investigated the problem in the mid-90s, testing nearly 1,000 memory devices at sea level, in mountains and in caves and shit. Like, it was pretty neat. And they showed that at higher altitude, more soft errors occurred, while in the caves, there were nearly none, proving that the cosmic rays were to blame.
Wow.
Isn't that neat?
So aliens are crashing our computer.
No,
they're
cosmic rays.
Cosmic rays.
You're always running to the... You always got to take off and go to the extreme one. I'm just saying there's cosmic rays. Okay?
We don't know who's sending out the cosmic
rays.
Hey, man,
if there's bullets coming through the window, all I know is there's bullets coming through the window. I don't even know if it's somebody shooting at it, sure. So I'm sure not going to start screaming, it's the Russians, because I don't... All I got is bullets coming through a window. All right? So good to look at. But the thing that I'm interested in here is with all these sunspots and everything, you know, if you look at how dependent we are on comms, and this little piece of tidbit of information shows up, this isn't bullshit. This is a real thing, right?
This is real, yeah.
Yeah, so let's suppose out of one of the segments of sky, which is the most of it that we're not observing, a blast of some kind of energy like this comes and just wipes out the electronics. Wham! Gone. How screwed are we?
Totally possible. Totally possible.
Completely possible. They've been talking about it for years. Yeah, some people say that's what 2012 is, right? But like,
well, there is one scheduled for 2012. The sun is I can't remember the technology behind it, but the sun is the big
solar
sunspots.
You're talking about the superstorm.
The solar flares. It has a peak in 2012. Every 6 years, it happens, and things go bad. I mean, they're never bad enough to really do a huge amount of damage, but you know, they knock the satellites about a bit. TV channels go out. Communications are disrupted. But you know, something bigger could do more damage.
Oh yeah, yeah, man. So. You know, just think about it. What would happen if you lost all the microchips immediately? You wouldn't be able to get the show. That's the first thing that happened. You wouldn't be able to get the show anymore. So the show will be off the air.
Yeah,
solar flare.
Gone. Yep.
Show canceled due to solar flare. Sorry, all technology dumped. You know. But God, I hope we
back to pen and paper. I mean, if it destroys all the chips and all the electronics in the world, we'd have to take a while to get them back into the houses.
No, I think we'd be okay. We might be okay. Radio 99 might still be on the air.
Well, that's electronics as well. I mean, it's taken out all the electronics. If you're talking about that.
Oh really? Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of.
Oh yeah, EMP. It's an EMP for the world. Like boom, it's all gone. We're back to Stone Age.
Yeah, that's not really
back before electricity. We're in the mid 1900s or 1800s. Sorry.
Yeah. So it's that would suck. That would suck.
Living like the Amish.
Yeah. Well,
better
law
go
enforcement.
Get
an
Amish book or something. Yeah.
Law enforcement would become difficult. Yeah.
Well, guns would work. Tasers wouldn't.
Yeah, it'd be a running battle. It would be a running battle. I would hope that there was. Yeah. I hope that only people could find tasers because it'd be better. It'd keep the casualty count low. You know, honestly.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're pretty beat up. Here they are, alive, all beat up. 6 months, they'll be okay. Maybe they'll lose a leg or something. You know, life over limb, man. Anyway, in gun news, this was sent in by Renegade Rabbit. Here's a good one. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives is actively issuing directives banning private sales of guns without licenses at gun shows in Texas. Okay, so the BATF shows up and goes, you can't sell guns at your private gun shows in Texas. There's no law to justify this at all. Like, there's no laws on the books for it. The BATF just showed up and said, you can't do that. A caller to Alex Jones show. Yeah, no. A caller to the Alex Jones show brought attention to the BATF notices handed out at the entrance of the Texas Gun and Knife Show at Loth Lamar in Austin this past weekend. The flyers, pictured below, state that anyone selling a firearm will be asked to comply with conditions including the operation through a licensed FFL dealer. The notice also stated that selling firearms in the parking lot will not be permitted. The lady at the front desk used her mommy voice to get everyone's attention, Scott from Austin told the Alex Jones show, noting that the owners of the private building where the gun show was held were contacted by the APD and the BATF and directed to hand out these notices. Scott also told listeners that a petition of the protest of the directions were being handed out around the show. The attendees posted flyers on web forums, one poster noted. So what this story says is, again, even in the heart of Texas, I guess they've gotten control. Because I never thought I'd see the day where a government would be able to walk into Texas and tell them they couldn't do what they want to do with their guns. You know?
Well, they're pretty much trying to bluff them, it sounds like. It's like there's no laws against it, but we're asking you to comply with. And they're just scaring people. So I guess it's official. It's kind of a big abuse of power because... Are you going to, if a cop comes up to you and says, well, you got to do this, well, you're going to believe the cop, aren't you? Because, you know, you're supposed to. They're supposed to know the rules and the laws, and you're believing a person in authority.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, they're trying to, stop. You know, well, is there a bigger picture here? Like, well, what's going on at the gun show? You know, or does it matter what's going on at the gun show? How deeply should we look at this? Should it be a blanket law? Yeah, you can buy and sell guns in Texas. I mean, I would kind of think that you should. It's Texas. It's kind of how things work down there. Maybe we should just keep it the way it is.
Yeah.
You know?
I think a lot of the states have the law where they're what they call a loophole at the gun shows because it's just a gun show right there. They can't have the X number of days to investigate a person. So there is no legal requirement to look into licenses or do a background check or anything. It's an instant sale, and that's what they're trying to shut down here. By just trying to get them to comply with without any law backing them up. And You know, what are you going to do? You don't have time to go to the law books or ask a judge whether it's legal.
Exactly.
I mean, you give in because you have to believe them.
Right. Right. So it's one of those kind of things that, well, I don't really, I kind of like an armed society myself. It doesn't really bother me. I think gun control is a stupid idea. So, you know, whatever.
It is. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, I would rather the society be trained with the guns they have, make that mandatory. If you own a gun, just like a car, you can't just go grab a car and drive it down the street. You have to have a license. You have to know how to drive a car so you don't injure other people. Just like with a gun, maybe you should take some training. And so
to be responsible. And if you're not responsible, you're going to have some pretty severe downward pressure. But, you know, and the guy who breaks into my house who's coming in to, you know, steal all my stuff and rape my wife, it's going to make my job with dealing with him way easier and far less messy for both me and him. And, you know, if I could just, you know, stand maybe 10, 15 feet back and make big basketball-sized holes in people, I'd rather have that, you know, as an option rather than, you know, go for the steak knife. I mean, come on! Really? Fuck, man.
Not
the last thing I
want
to do in the middle of the night is wandering around my house with a meat cleaver again. You know, the dog gets freaked out. Like, what the hell? Anyway.
Yeah.
Sean's mad again. Anyway.
Got the knife out.
In Corp Cop news. You ready for this one? I've got some awesome cyberpunk stories here this week. This has to be the scariest thing I have read in a very long time. This is like multiple... You're getting this on all these articles? I read the most disturbing thing ever. Multiple reporters all over the internet are like, holy shit, we're freaking out.
Wow.
This has to be the scariest thing I've read in a long time. The Rand Corporation... The Rand Corporation was asked by the U.S. Army to prepare a report recommending whether or not the U.S. needed a national stability police force. Basically a call for American brown shirts, Rounds' answer was a resounding yes. It goes on to say here, our analysis clearly indicates that the United States needs an SPF, a special police force, or some other way to accomplish a special police force mission. Stability operations have become inescapable reality of U.S. foreign policy. Let me say that again. Stability operations. Have become an inescapable reality. Okay, so a stability operation means stay in your homes. Okay, that is unavoidable because of our foreign policy. Okay, Establishing the security with soldiers and police is critical because it is difficult to achieve other objectives, such as rebuilding political or economic systems, without it. Or should I say, building the systems you wish. The cost, it goes on to, this is what the U.S. Army got from these people. The cost of not fixing this gap is significant. The United States will continue to experience major challenges in stability operations if it does not have this policing capacity. These challenges include creating the ability to establish basic law and order, as well as deter criminal organizations, terrorists, and insurgents, and in some cases, allied countries may be able to fill in this gap. Okay? That means, in writing there, they're saying that you have foreign soldiers patrolling on U.S. soil. Now, that's going to piss everybody off. If one thing's,
They could spring all the soldiers that are doing that in other countries, the U.S. soldiers, and bring them back patrol the streets.
No, but that's not effective. You want to keep a layer of disconnection between your, if you're an evil bastard, you want to keep a layer of disconnection between your soldiers and the people that they patrol. See,
that's true.
You want to alienate the peoples, right? So if people from China come here and patrol the crazy white guys, they're going to have all kind of slang terms for us. They'll be kicking in our doors and rousting us and pulling all our shit out, you know. That's what it's going to be.
And we can just point the fingers and say, it's not our government, it's the Chinese, guys.
And this is part of it's the goddamn cops, okay?
Yeah.
So, now, this is very important because we need to follow that so that for everyone who's listening to this who's got the potential to transfer to a police force like that, please do so. Please do so, because if we're going to have secret police running around, I'd like a few of them at least to be good guys. Just one or two, you know, maybe a few people who might try to save some lives rather than watch everybody go to camps. You know, maybe we could get some good guys in there. Maybe we could get some rebels. It's something to look at. Paramedics could look at this. If they're going to do that, they're going to be recruiting from existing law enforcement, which is basically, you know, in the shitter right now anyway, if I like, everyone's starving. So it's that's pretty terrifying stuff. It'll be interesting to see what they do with it. And as well, we got some military piracy news. You might have, did you cover this one? Campaigns about copyright infringement? Did you get this bad boy?
I don't think so. I didn't do this one, I don't think.
Campaigns about copyright infringement, particularly those related to online file sharing mechanisms such as BitTorrent, are nothing new. They have, however, escalated in recent years and now regularly appear in mainstream press, even penetrating our schools. An insider at a U.S. base in Japan has been in touch with Torrent Freak to tell us of a new initiative underway which is being operated by the Department of Defense. The campaign is running overseas bases and is targeting members of the military currently using BitTorrent and other P2P software to obtain media. While millions of regular U.S. citizens are also use file sharing to acquire TV shows, movies, and music, we're told that military personnel overseas have a unique problem. Their physical location excludes them from obtaining media from U.S.-based services. Like, you know, poor guys in a shithole somewhere. You know, and I'm proud to say that I hope my hard drive hits the ground for the boys in Afghanistan, because they got 200 gigs of goodness coming to them. But anyway,
keep them entertained.
Yeah, send portable hard drives. They need that shit. Anyway, for many years, pardon me, while millions of regular, also use blah, 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 U.S.-based services. Sorry. For years, many of us have spent time and money hand over fist looking for ways around the IP blocks made by these companies operating from the States to access services such as Netflix, Amazon, and others to enjoy the same level of access as anyone living in the United States does. We've offered money to the companies in exchange for lifting the blocks. They've offered and have offered up information as to how to allow military members into their content while strictly enforcing the contract. However, the pleas to various media companies appear to have fallen on deaf ears. Our contact believes that the content providers must have no interest in the business available from overseas military personnel, and they continue to block them from accessing content legitimately. In a response to this inaction, we're told that the U.S. military personnel have stepped up their campaign to download as much content as they can using BitTorrent. They have sent letters to the RIA and the MPAA, repeatedly letting them know that our downloads are in direct representation of their failure to allow us to be good consumers as elders in the U.S. can be. So if you stop selling them the stuff, they're going to go get it, and you can't just say no. You know, I think that...
We're in the same boat in Canada. We have so little access to all these online streaming outlets that the U.S. does that people do turn to the other places to get it, like the BitTorrent sites.
Well, I think it's pretty sad, you know. I mean, it wouldn't be that hard to get a secure net where these media guys, like these media giants, should be giving them this stuff for free. They shouldn't be charging them for this. I don't know, what, a soldier overseas wants a book? Yeah, for sure. How long is he there? For 6 months? Okay, he's able to get one book per week. You know what I mean? Yeah, we'll float that. No problem. You know, it's not that hard, really, and for what these people are doing. Come on. You know, where's your head? But what we do have time for with soldiers is some moral panic. Thanks very much for Fat Ninja sending this one in. Tonight, a Quad City area soldier in Afghanistan is being forced to face charges connected with pictures that his mother sent to him. His mother says the pictures were designed to ease the homesickness of life on the war front because she had no idea they would lead to child pornography investigation and months of wondering whether the accusations would bring charges. Inside the Galesburg home, decorated with two blue stars, the Millers worry for their son's safety. He's not in the hands of the enemy, but these days they feel the U.S. Army has become anything but an ally. I've been told it's none of your business, says Rodney Miller. That was Army matters and not our business. Specialist Billy Miller was in Afghanistan with the Galva-based 33rd Infantry Brigade of the Illinois National Guard in September when we captured the unit's happy homecoming, but Billy was left behind because of his picture his mother emailed to him. You have no clue how it eats me up, cries Terry Miller. I blame myself every day. If I didn't send those pictures, he would be home. In August, the military began what it called a child pornography investigation into what the family calls harmless pictures of a little girl. The pictures show her playing in the swimming pool and posing on Billy's truck and inside the home. We did not show on television and show her standing in front of the water as part of her buttocks was exposed from her bathing suit. This is pictures of a little kid, okay? Billy's girlfriend, Melissa Fox, defends the pictures. Anyone who has a kid knows what it's like to have these kinds of pictures. These are like little kid pictures of kids playing in the yard in the summer. Because the guy's in a shithole somewhere on the other side of the planet. So he'd like to know what he's fighting for, maybe, you know. They're going to realize these pictures are not child pornography. The child, who is a relative whom the family says Billy treated as his own child when the girl was diagnosed with cancer, as her father went through boot camp, her father told us he can't believe the charges, especially since they're on other family's computer in the Facebook page, and no one else has been investigated. So, essentially, the father posted the same photos up on his Facebook page. No one's been charged. They sent the same photos, publicly accessible from a Facebook page overseas. Bang! Buddy's in the slammer. Now, this is precisely the reason why you can't have thought crime laws is because of bullshit like this. This is totally insane. You know?
And this is what happens. It's like, oh my god, there's a child in that photo. This is illegal.
Like moral panic, witch hunt. You know what? This is insane. This is totally, totally insane. The thing that gets me, you know, is that stopping child pornography on the web is not going to stop child pornography. Okay? Stopping child pornography on the web, you're only stopping the distribution on forcing underground the distribution of videotapes of hideous crimes. So if you're interested in stopping child pornography, start going after the people committing the crimes. Okay? That's what you need to be doing here. And realistically...
Go to the source.
Yeah, you know, and realistically, the only way you're going to do that is to monitor their comnets. So you kind of have to let them online so you can find them, and then you can, you know, let their filth expose them for what they are and shoot them in the streets like dogs, you know? But this is, you know... Largely my own personal view, not to be, you know, confused.
Make them put down their guard so that they get sloppy, and then you can more easily find them. Make them come above ground rather than driving them underground.
Right. So it leads us to our next story, which is your daily hack, one of your first ones, is do-it-yourself UAVs. This is a site for all about amateur unmanned aerial vehicles, which you can build on the cheap. As well, I found another site which shows you how to make your own VTOL craft on the cheap in case you're interested in having a couple of, server-driven technological demon familiars who follow you around and, you know, keep watch on things so that if, you know, you see somebody doing something bad, you can, you know, I don't know, do something documented. Whatever! There's a million uses, totally legal, for one of these kind of UAV things. They're fantastic. Think it's kind of neat. And as well, there's the R-Fiddler, a sci-fi gun that works in the real world. This is interesting. Destroy RFID chips and some electronic devices like USB sticks with a hacked 0.6 kilojoule flash unit driven by a 50-turn copper spool. Essentially, it's a gun that destroys RFID chips. Very,
sweet.
Very cool. Yes. One of those kind of tools that I guarantee would be one of those illegal mechanisms that if you make that and they find that on you, you're going to go to jail. So, I wonder how
cool
small
too.
You could make that. Like how, like that one's
ooh,
like
I'm
a rifle.
It's large. It's not, you're not hiding it really. I'm sure there's some miniaturization that could happen, but it looks like it has a lot of components that kind of need to
I
be
I bet
there.
You I could make one look like a thermos.
I think you probably could pack one into a thermos, a big thermos. Yep.
Yeah, I bet you I could. And you just have your thermos with your lunch kit there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying. Recomedia today. Your Bank of the World Bank unveiled. This is a book, which is actually pretty neat. The World Bank unveiled tells the story of the World Bank researcher David Shaman and some of his colleagues to introduce greater transparency to the deliberations of the World Bank. Now, this is the World Bank. In 1999, when the bank was subject to intense controversy and public demonstrations, Shaman Co. created an internet-based B-SPAN, which offered unedited videos of internal bank discussions and debates. We began B-SPAN as a way to increase the bank's transparency. We believed in doing so would increase people's understanding of what the bank did, increase opportunities for the bank to be more accountable to its critics, and thereby mute tensions on all sides. Yes, let's get some light in there.
Good
honesty
idea.
For everybody.
Yeah.
Brilliant. The 688 book details the development of this transparency initiative from the author's perspective and describes its early success as well as its opposition that it quickly engendered. I decided to write The World Bank Unveiled because I believe it will provide an opportunity for those who want to know more about open, accountable institutions to overcome... I believe it will provide an opportunity for those who want a more open and accountable institution to overcome an internal culture wedded to secrecy and bureaucracy married to the status quo. Wow. Said Mr. Shamer. If this should occur, the ultimate winners will be those millions who currently live in poverty because they will have more effective advocates on their behalf. Very interesting, kind of heavy stuff, but hey, money is important. You should know something about it. You know? Really. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. If you cannot donate to the show, please distribute, but if you can donate, please give whatever you can to the Rant Media Studios, Box 950-89-370, East Broadway, Vancouver, BC, Canada, V5T1W0, or just go to the website, throw some change, all kinds of donation options available there. Now, I did want to make a note here. I've got an idea for something, and this is kind of off the cuff. The next few shows, I'm going to be talking about this. If you're a fan of the show, and you've been following me around for a bit, and you're a certified diver on any kind of program, can you let me know, newsreel@rantradio.com, to say, hey, Sean, I'm kind of interested. Yeah, I'm a diver. What are you doing? I can't tell you. I want to know if we got any divers out there. Well, what are you doing, Sean? Nothing. I want to know if there's divers, you know, and how to contact you. In case, you know, I might be doing something. I'm just saying. And I want to thank the Army of the Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you would like information, if you have information that you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel@rantradio.com. Be sure to sign up for the Rant newsletter by sending an email to info@rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, of course, check out some Psytrance. And of course, now I'm going to find out? No, I'm going to fade out before my voice gives out with a track from Death, Lies, and Videotape. This is from Evil Intent, Era of Division from 2008. That was sent in by Kizzle Kiz. Kind of an interesting tune from back in the day there. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy. Oh, Simi, sorry. Totally forgot you there, big guy. Did you got anything you wanted to add? You got anything going on?
Yeah, speaking of donations before... we're looking for some file mirrors for shows just like this. So if you have some space on your server to host some files like Newsreel, get in contact with me, info@rantradio.com, because we're always looking for some file mirrors.
And, you know, because we got a lot of stuff we're giving away. We
do.
I mean,
yeah.
Get your money's
worth. We want people
worth.
To download it. So.
Yeah, get your money's worth here on Rant Media. So, you know, that's and every little bit helps, and you don't have to just donate cash. Cash is appreciated, but hey, if you've got skills that you bring on to, or, you know, if you're like, if anyone out there, you know, wants to make web pages or whatever, email me, let me know. I mean, I'd like to know what skills we got, people willing to work. Why not? What the hell? Could be useful. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. So until next time, that's what server said. End of line.
Through the lies, read the signs, intertwined inside the headlines. You went blind in this era of diversion for the sake of mankind. You gotta through the lies, read the signs, intertwined inside the headlines. Open your eyes and let go of the hive of worker bees whose purpose seems to be controlled till they die. Never knowing the why, you have a deep down. All they know is it happened at some point. They became another victim of multimedia distraction. Stay rushed, stay ahead of the game. Television and radio wire direct to your brain while your attention is trained to follow with all of the visuals. Skull and bone, sleight of hand, political rituals. In a system of government where the Republicans take information is integral. The level of lies the media tries to sell us is unequivocal. Habitual tactics meant to distract you away from the issue. Ignore the war, watch Paris wipe her ass with a tissue.
That's hot.
While you were looking at Anna Nicole, soldiers we love went
to war, leaving families at home. As we watch the smoke screen of corporate news shows, freedom died. This song is the bell's death toll. Open your eyes. To the lies, read the signs intertwined inside the headlines. Open your eyes. You ain't blind in this era of diversion for the sake of mankind. You gotta open your eyes. The lies, read the signs intertwined inside the headlines. Open your eyes. You ain't blind in this era of diversion for the sake of mankind. Let go of the notions you chose to suppose. Locate your own way to stay in the know. If you don't pay attention, I suggest you listen close,
cause most won't get it if I don't spit it slow.
Since Hoover and Nixon mixed up the system, we've been on a crash course with collision. No trust in the vision of the country we live in. All praise to the buck hands up for the bid and never take what they give up with a mere face value. Face your info and everything around you. Speak the truth even when everyone doubts you. From me to you, I got a letter going out to flag-waving nationalists, grass-saving naturalists, and tax-paying families with kids. Cash-craving capitalists, keep facts fading past the abyss. This cat's past waiting, pass me a fist. That's what flips a pacifist into a terrorist for certain. Filming massacres and then they air a different version. Beware of false assertions, prepare for the incursion. Let's tear apart the curtain on this era of diversion. The lies, read the signs intertwined inside the headlines.
Open your eyes.
You ain't blind in this era of diversion for the sake of mankind. You gotta
open your eyes.
The lies, read the signs intertwined inside the headlines.
Open your eyes.
You ain't blind in this era of diversion for the sake of mankind.